time with us.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
Same to you guys. Okay, good stuff as always from Scott Clendenin. It's always nice when you're talking baseball national seeds.
It's, yeah. It is very nice.
It's nice
no
to
doubt.
Do. Okay. Oh, where's my closing list here? Holy cow. Okay, that's going to end the first hour. I know you want to stay tuned to second hour. We're going to keep talking collegiate baseball right here on the Zone. KCNE Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Listen to the Zone FM 102.7. Zone HD. Or Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAgueland.com. This is KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM. College Station Bryan.
Jackerman, this report is brought to you by Golfsmith. People that would do anything for golf deserve a store that would do anything for golfers. At Golfsmith, certified club fitters help you get the right gear to find a store. Visit golfsmith.com. The Cavaliers were able to take game one with Kyrie Irving less than 100%, but the All-Star guard is still bothered by a bad knee and missed shoot-around today to go for further tests. He's listed as questionable for tonight's game two in Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Hawks' Damari Carroll's a game-time decision with a bruised knee. Brewers pitcher Will Smith was suspended 8 games for a foreign substance on his arm. He plans to appeal. The San Francisco Giants got out of the gate early, or slowly, I should say, in their latest title defense, but have caught fire recently. They opened a series in Colorado tonight after winning 6 in a row. They swept the Dodgers without allowing a run. Manager Bruce Bochy never lost faith in his team, even when times were tough.
Now you have to deal with those tough times, but there's no question these guys would handle that fine, and there's probably going to be some more. It's a long season, and you know your offense, your pitching, you know, sometimes it's up and down.
Ryan Vogelsong will take the mound tonight at Coors Field against Kyle Kendrick. The Nationals go for their 6th row tonight at home against the Phillies, and the Royals host the Cardinals in an interleague battle of interstate rivals and division leaders. The Lightning host the Rangers in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tampa Bay holds a 2-1 series lead. Head coach John Cooper said one reason why is Captain Steven Stamkos.
He's been on the right side of pucks and on players, and he's been able to rub guys out and eliminate. And it's a hard thing to do because now you're losing your speed. It takes more time to get going, but it's just showing his commitment level of playing the entire, you know, kind of throwing his entire package out.
I'm Rich Ackerman.
It's Pharrell. Don't miss my show weeknights from 10 to 2 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Seiner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Today is the last day to submit nominations for the 11th annual Aggie 100. Qualified Aggie-owned or Aggie-led firms are encouraged to nominate their firms online at aggie100.com/nominate. The Clara B. Mounts Library will hold a free seminar, Literacy Starts at Birth, tomorrow from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30. The Salvation Army is having a garage sale tomorrow morning at 8 at their offices on Cabot Avenue. Call 361-0618 for more information. The Brazos Valley Chapter 937 of the Vietnam Veterans Association of America will hold a Memorial Day ceremony at the Brazos Valley Vietnam Veterans Memorial in downtown Bryan starting at 9 a.m. Today, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and 78. Tonight, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and 70. You can now hear your favorite teams, A&M football, A&M basketball, and A&M baseball on your FM dial. Listen in on the Zone 102.7 FM.
It has been said that life insurance is not for the dead, but for the living. Herman Sons has helped create better lives for men, women, and children in Texas since 1861. Built on family values and friendship, Herman Sons serves Texans with a Texas-sized heart. Unlike other life insurance companies, when you're part of the Herman Sons family, you'll see exactly where your money is going, right into our own Texas communities. Become a member of the Herman Sons family today and enjoy what that unique membership means. Life insurance protection tailor-made for your family's needs, plus summer camps and dance classes for your children, community service opportunities for the entire family, and a home for your retirement years. Big family, big hearts. The right kind of life insurance for Texans. That's Herman Sons. Find out more at HermanSons.org. That's HermanSons.org. Or call 800-234-4124. Herman Sons Life Insurance. For Texans, by Texans.
Rattlers always has great specials, and May is no exception. This month, grab some healthy snacks with David Sunflower Seeds in the 5.25-ounce bag, two for only $2.22. In a hurry for lunch? Then mix and match a fountain drink hot dog and nachos, two for only $2, with your registered Rattlers reward card. And if it's been a long, tough, and hot day, after work, stop in for some great beer specials, like 18 packs of Heineken, Corona, and Dos Equis, only $19.99, and 18 packs of Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
Fun is the focus at Spirit Ice Arena, and learning the skills of skating will enable you to enjoy a lifetime of fun and exercise. Step-by-step instruction in pleasant, supervised surroundings makes learning to skate safe and easy. Skating is for everyone, so whether you want to play hockey, figure skate, or just for a lifetime of fun, Spirit Ice Arena is the place to start. Group lessons will be starting soon, so call today and join the fun at Spirit Ice Arena, 693-3900, or online at spiriticearena.com.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio. Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle. You've got Robert Sessna alongside me, the other half of Robert and Robert. It'll be Robert Primo. Aggie Nation brought to you by MSC Opus. Got a whole new season. You want to check that out. Man, they got some great stuff coming. You want to go to mscopus.org. Get your tickets now. If you want to join in with us, which a couple of you have, via the text, 229-1939, 229-1939. If you know how to use your phone, you can call us at 693-1150, pound 1150. Rich Kroom does know how to use his phone. He's in Hoover, which is a different area code, but he was able to join us. So go out to the phone lines. Rich, how are we doing today? Okay.
Maybe he isn't here.
Do I have to hit this somehow?
I think you can have Sean.
Rich, are we there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. There he is.
Holy cow, I got a little bit worried there. I mean, I thought Nick Saban had gone ahead and put you on mute.
No, I just was thinking, you know, I'm in the middle of the fairway, so one over after 3 holes, I just thought I might just skip you guys, period.
Okay, let's get right to it. You spent a lot of time in Hoover. You're probably voting over there, the way they have those Alabama laws. Let's get talking to yesterday's ball game. We talked a little bit of Scott Clendenin in the last hour, so I want to do some things differently. What about Blake Alemán? You've covered him now for a few years. The fact that he didn't make all SEC honors, does that motivate him at all, do you think?
I think it might have. Blake's one of those guys, he likes to think he's, and he is, one of the better shortstops. Probably what got him is, one, it's a league where there's just tons of shortstops. And the other is was his fielding. You know, he probably had the worst fielding percentage for a shortstop in the league, so that probably didn't help him. And he's a pretty smart guy. I think he probably understood that.
Looking at yesterday's victory, I always like to look at the coaches and players. And I saw you were down on the field, and then not only what they say and how they act, but what you see. How big a win do you think that was for the team yesterday?
I think it was huge because in that. Vanderbilt's one of those teams that they really were battling for a national seed with. And so now they've got the upper hand with that victory. And the fact that they beat, maybe one of the top three or four pitchers in the nation didn't hurt anything. But the national seeding thing, like I said, there's some people are saying SEC will get three, they're bound to get two. And if they get two, it's going to be a push. And if they get three, that really helps because now Florida's lost the game here and Vanderbilt has lost, and even bigger, Vanderbilt lost to A&M.
Going in that tournament, well written. You've written, other people have written it. They were like 8-7 the last 15 games, something like that. Now, how much did they need that game just to get a little confidence, just to feel like, hey, they could beat a team, the defending national champs?
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think the biggest part was they needed to play well. They really did, because they've, you know, their fielding, this was probably one of the best fielded games that I saw them play. Not only did they make every play, they made a couple plays that you might not have thought they would have made. So I think just the fact that they played well, I mean, you know, you go in against, like I said, once again, against one of the better pitchers, you know, there's no guarantees you're going to win that game. I mean, he could have shut them down to two runs, and who knows what might have happened. But so I think just playing well was more important for them now, for fans and everybody else like that. Probably a good thing, one, like I said, for the national seeding, and two, because they had been sliding a little bit here in the last third, last fourth of the season.
They've had a few guys that they can interchange, but what about, let's say, going with, I'm going to pronounce the name, Chorby at center field. What about that decision? And, you know, he's made a couple plays. Just talk about him playing center field.
Well, he Coach told me that he had looked at him for Sam. He had looked at him to play against Ole Miss one more time. He started against Ole Miss one of the games. You know, maybe he felt in the bigger ballpark he wanted a little bit more speed out in the outfield with, you know, at Hoover. He's obviously shown that he's got a little bit more speed. Moss isn't, it's not like Moss is slow, but Chorby's a lot faster. Well, I would say a lot faster, but he's definitely faster, and he's shown it. And, I mean, he's made a great defensive play the first game, and he made a really good defensive play sticking with that one ball again after the home run for Vanderbilt yesterday.
So you feel this is a defensive lineup that A&M will play in the NCAA tournament pretty much?
Don't know whether they'll play it in the NCAA tournament, like once they get back.
Yeah, they're going to play Chorby, they're going to play Nauterbrook. What do you feel about when they get to the NCAA tournament?
Well, it's definitely their fielding starting nine. And Nauterbrook, luckily for him, Coach even mentioned it, he hit the ball. He has nothing to show for it over the first two games. The first game was terrible. He had three strikeouts and hit into a double play. But yesterday, he hit the ball hard every time, but just got nothing to show for it. I was kind of wondering if Gideon might move into the move in. But Nauterbrook's played really good at defense, and Gideon has not. So I think they're going to probably stick with this. Whether Chorby stays there, it might be one of those lefty-righty things, since he's, you know, with Moss being a right-handed hitter.
Okay, well, you think we'll see Stubblefield on Saturday or not?
I think you will, because he was warming up the first game, and I asked him afterwards, you know, because some people thought, well, maybe he's just kind of trying to get in a bullpen session a little bit, you know, while he's out there, get some throws in. But I asked him afterwards if he was ready to come in, and that's what he was out there for. And he said, yeah, and he said, I'm ready to go, and he seemed anxious. So the thing is, I would have said yes for sure, you know, if they would have had to throw some pitchers here recently, but they haven't had to do that. And, I mean, they've got their whole staff, essentially, for these next two games if they go to the second game.
CSAS, what I was going to ask about.
Sorry.
I was going to ask about the pitching. And, you know, with Stubblefield hasn't thrown but, two-thirds of an inning, so wouldn't it make sense for him to pitch tomorrow no matter what, whether it's starting or out of the bullpen?
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation, but you really would like to see him get in an inning or two,
right,
where it really matters before you get into the, you know, where you get into the regional, where you got, you know, where you're kind of feeling a little pressure as well. But he's, you know, the thing about him though is he's felt, you know, he's been in that situation before. He's felt pressure, so you know, he pitched that game against Texas last year in the regional, so he's experienced with that. It's just a matter of whether he's ready to go health-wise and, you know, how long he can go now with team.
Right. Well, and I would think just from a health standpoint, and, you know, how does he feel, I'd want to pitch him maybe more than the mental part. But what about if they win tomorrow? Obviously you need to see how the game plays out as to what their pitching plan would be for the championship game. But what's the baseline average guess at what they'll do Sunday pitching-wise?
You know, that's kind of a crapshoot, because when they brought in on the on Thursday, or yeah, the first game, you know.
Brandon Hendricks.
So the Saturday starter, so it was a little like, who now? You know, you got Simons, you got Larkin. I'm sure one of them will start tomorrow, Larkin, and then the other would probably start the Sunday game if they have that. But, I mean, you've got, like I said, you've got a lot of guys that are well-rested, so I think he can go any route where, you know, like, watch the LSU, and I think I saw a stat on them in the first 15 innings of the tournament, they had pitched 11 guys.
Right.
Of course, now, you don't get too tired when you're pitching that many guys in 15 innings, but you don't have as many choices either, I think, you know, for the if you go to the third and fourth game.
Okay, what about, this is the first time Adams had to deal with this in a few years, what about an extended stay at the conference tournament before you go to NCAAs? How do you feel A&M's handling all week in Hoover, and they're probably, if everything goes right, I guess they won't get back till late Sunday or somewhere along those lines?
Yeah, but you're getting back. You know, the one good thing about that is you know you're playing at home, you know, the next Friday. So once you get back with the traveling, you know, there's no school anymore. I just think that that's not going to be a problem at all because, I mean, Coach, this is supposed to be a day off, but Coach, I heard Coach as we were walking out the interview room say, okay, we're going to meet at 9 over at Samford University, and they practiced, and then he said, and then we'll go lift weights. So, I mean, it's not like they're not doing anything, and so he's keeping them busy. I mean, I guess he feels like he doesn't need to, you know, give them a total day off yet, and I think they'll probably get that Monday, but the fact that they're going to be at home Friday, I think is a good thing, and that's not really a worry.
Anything else you think of going in? Does A&M, is A&M root for Alabama, or they'd rather play Vanderbilt again, or it doesn't matter? Or
I think you've got to root for Alabama for two reasons. One, their staff's going to be really, you know, they're not going to have much of a staff by the time that if they had to play Saturday. You know, their arms have got to be dead. They've played in couple games already, and I think the fact that, you know, I guess if they beat, if you get Vanderbilt again, Vanderbilt comes back and beats them, then you're again looking at, you know, the at the seed situation with the tournament. So whereas if Alabama beats Vanderbilt, then A&M's definitely got Vanderbilt out of the way when it comes to a national seed.
Does everyone over there want to see A&M and LSU? Is that, or do they want to see A&M and Vanderbilt?
I can't get a feel for that, really, although, you know, Vanderbilt, I think now they'd love to see Alabama and LSU because that would be the biggest crowds because LSU's got some people out here. But I really don't get a feel for what people want to see. But if you're looking at a crowd, it would be Alabama, LSU. Vandy's got a good little following. But I don't think they would make much difference when it comes to stuff like that.
By the way, we had Scott on last hour. I think Childress was on 12th Man Studio today. He said Vincent's starting Saturday.
Vincent is going to start Saturday.
That's what he said, on 12th Man Radio.
He finished Wednesday. He's going to start Saturday. Well, then that just tells me he really doesn't have much confidence in Mark and Simon as much as he should. And it also tells me that, and this is Childress's thinking. I've noticed this, you know, over the years. He's going after that next game, and he'll worry about the following game after.
Yeah. And now you've told everybody. Hey, he takes them one at a time, then, huh?
Well, I mean, there was something. Vanderbilt started their very first game. Vanderbilt started some guy that.
That's true.
He threw. He was a midweek reliever at best, and so not everybody thinks that way, you know. And Childress will throw his best at you until they can go no longer, and then he'll figure out what to do from there.
Okay, so how many yards are you away from the pin right now?
Well, actually, I had to skip the fourth hole. I hit my drive, and then I just skipped it while my partners played, and now I'm going to get up.
Oh. Well, we got to get you back there, Rich, and your day off there, man. Appreciate you taking time with us.
All righty.
Thanks.
Talk to you guys.
That was Richie Kroom. Missed the hole. Well, he just puts it down as par, I'm sure, knowing him. So
he's pretty steady.
He's pretty steady. Notice his golf game and saying that Childress was going to start, Vincent didn't throw him at all. He just was ready, knew and exactly what he was going on. So
that does seem to be Childress's M.O., though, because this dawns on me that I remember thinking, yeah, this is one of the reasons why I like Childress, is he doesn't play games when it comes to trying to save stuff. You know, let's just win as many games as we can, and we'll worry about, you know, getting in that situation where we've run out of pitchers later.
Well, you know, and how to laugh is because when I'm watching that game yesterday, I go, man, where was this, you know, Kent was starting, then he went out, then he come back starting.
Right, but, right.
I mean, obviously you could say, well, Childress knew what he's doing. He got his stuff together and came back, and, you know, I mean, he looked like an All-American yesterday. Just the way he had those. You both and I both played baseball. I had a laugh. Those Vanderbilt hitters were talking to themselves.
Oh, man.
And
there's nothing worse.
You hate a game like that because they were just so frustrated.
Well, and maybe it's just a simple thing, like, you know, Scott Clendenin was saying, just a little bit of rest, and it does wonders sometimes for some of these guys. And maybe some of his arm came back. And of course, if a guy like that's hitting his spots, you could probably send some batters back to the dugout talking to themselves.
And now we come back, we're going to hop around, talk a little bit more about a few other the conference tournaments right here on Aggie Nation.
If you want a new career, let Vista College prepare you with the skills employers are looking for when they hire.
Well, the thing that sets Vista College graduates apart is the fact that they have great training as well as hands-on training. They're able to work in the lab to where when they come out in the field, it's not a big surprise and they're ready to go to work.
Vista College can put you on the fast track to a financially rewarding career.
If I see somebody has attended Vista College, I know that they're going to be an individual that has gone above and beyond their normal local person that I can hire, and absolutely I would hire that person over another person.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify. New classes start every 5 weeks. Call now for more information. 979-314-4438. That's 979-314-4438. Call Vista College today, 979-314-4438, or visit vistacollege.edu. Vista College College Station is a branch campus of Vista College, El Paso, Texas. Consumer information may be viewed at vistacollege.edu.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the spring with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with a $300 factory rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $12,195 or 10% down and payments of only $162 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade-in could be your down payment. Normandy Tractor voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. National tours direct from Broadway, magical concerts, theatrical plays, a wondrous and rowdy Cirque event, and fantastically fun family shows. Find out more about all the enchanting events, plus a few surprises. Coming to the 2015-16 Opus season with Anne Black and Mike Wright, Thursday, May 28th at 6:30 on KBTX.
Can you see clearly while driving? If your vision is hindered by chips and cracks in your windshield, come see Acme Glass today at either one of our two locations. Or if time won't allow, Acme Glass can come to you with their mobile on-site installation. Acme Glass also offers state inspections and free chip repair and lifetime warranty on your windshield purchased from Acme. With over 60 years of service in the Brazos Valley, that's Acme Glass.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
You don't care for me. I don't care about that. You got a new food.
your phone. All right. Welcome back to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You got Robert and Robert. Glad you're with us for a Friday. Care to join in? It's 229-1939 on the text, 229-1939, or you can call us at 693-1150, pound 1150. We're talking a little collegiate baseball right now. Let's not forget about the Southland Conference Tournament, those Sam Houston State Bearcats, and it's become an annual tradition. Come the tournament, the Bearcats kick it into gear, and they have done it again. The Bearcats have opened 2-0. They're seated fifth. They beat fourth-seeded McNeese on Wednesday night, 5-1, last night late. If you stayed up, and it was on ESPN3, because I can attest to it as Primo Canada had on the computer down here. They beat eighth-seeded Corpus Christi 6-1, and Corpus had beat top-seeded Southeastern Louisiana that had was having a great season. But now they are in the loser's bracket. Sam Houston State is sitting in the catbird seat. They will play tonight at 7 o'clock. They await the winner of Southeastern Louisiana and Corpus Christi. They're playing right now, and they are tied 4-4 after seven innings, last report the internet has there. In the early game today, second-seeded Northwestern State loses to Central Arkansas 5-4. So I kind of feel bad sometimes these lesser tournaments, you know, you win the regular season, you might not get in. You do a good body of work, and it's tough.
That's one, though, that the Southland Conference in basketball, that's definitely true. I don't think we've ever had, and I say we because I graduated from Sam Houston, I don't think we, the Southland Conference, have ever had two basketball teams in the men's tournament. Baseball
is different.
Baseball is different because in the past couple of years when Sam Houston has had really good regular seasons, Sam Houston has won the regular season title and not won the tournament but gotten in. And so two teams can get in from the Southland Conference. Sam Houston did not have a very good regular season.
No.
Not in terms of overall record. They played a little bit better in Southland Conference. If they could somehow win this tournament and clinch a berth, they are a prime candidate to be a 4 seed, maybe even a 3 seed, depending on who the 4 seed is, in a really light cupcake regional here at Bluebell Park, and that would be the return of Matt Dex.
Yeah, and Southeastern Louisiana is 42-16 right now, so I guess
they're going to get in.
I guess they might have a chance considering the team they played. I don't know that, but of course they're still not out of the tournament, and it'll be interesting to see. But you're right. I think that Sam Houston State went in this tournament one or two games over 500. But
right.
I'll give Sam Houston State credit. They always play the tougher schedule. They play Rice. They play Houston. They play by far the toughest schedule, and they did go into this tournament. When I look at it, they were 27-26.
Right.
So, you know, that's...
Yeah, they probably have to win the tournament to get in.
Oh, yeah, they've got to win.
I would think so.
I mean, without a doubt. I mean, you're the fifth seed in the Southland Conference, but
right,
they're close to it. And then let's talk about the Big 12 tournament
Maybe the two or the three seed that would come over here.
Because you're looking at Texas, TCU went bang, bang. That just shocked a lot of people because I don't know if the Big 12 is that strong, and that really had to hurt TCU. But today, Texas Tech will play Baylor. Baylor has lost a game. Texas Tech is also lost a game, a loser's bracket game. And then you have Oklahoma is playing Kansas State, and that's also a survivor's deal. Whereas tomorrow, Texas and Oklahoma State are your unbeatens. And the way they do it, they don't play each other. They're going to play losers because they try to get it down. They try to do it a different way. But the bottom line is Texas is in the running to get into tournament. And Texas, that's the only way they can get in, is if they win the tournament. So you figure at some point they would have to beat Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. Can they do it? Texas already beat Tech once. And then they beat Baylor, which wasn't that big of a deal. But both those one-run games. So Texas is trying to eke out a way to get into the tournament.
Well, and we've talked about this. As poor a season as Texas has had, there's a chance they win that tournament. They come here.
They come here.
It's possible. And maybe not likely, but possible.
And like Scott says, you're looking at four sites hosting. Well, they can't go to TCU.
In the state.
They can't go to TCU.
Right. They could go to Houston.
They go
for sure
to Houston, and then
they definitely could go to Dallas Baptist.
And they go to Dallas Baptist,
maybe.
Or they could go over to LSU as well.
For sure.
what have you. And then a conference that a lot of people don't talk about, but is a darn good conference, the Missouri Valley Conference. Dallas Baptist lost their opening game to Indiana State 2-0. They've bounced back. A lot of people have Dallas Baptist in the NCAA tournament, not only in the tournament, but a national seed. And they've stayed alive. They've got retribution. They've come back. And Dallas Baptist yesterday beat Evansville 3-0. And today they are playing Bradley. They already beat Indiana State again. They've got revenge 12-5 early today. So Dallas Baptist still gone strong. But, you know, Missouri State's also very good, and they won the conference, actually, and not Dallas Baptist. So Missouri Valley, good baseball.
Missouri State is eighth in the RPI. Dallas Baptist is still number two.
Yeah, they went down. Finally.
Who would have thought that we know here that Dallas Baptist has been good the last few years, but I didn't know Missouri State was any good.
Yes, I was been paying attention. That's
incredible.
That's really a good conference this year. But they might not get a national seed now, but
they may not.
They might get a 8, they might get a 9, 10 or, you know,
right.
10 and 11 or something like that. So like Scott said, you might see some interesting regional matchups. So that kind of takes you up to date on collegiate baseball is going on, and it's a lot of fun right now where A&M is. And another one, you know, I was driving, the ACC baseball was on. ACC's, as always, is really strong.
Sure.
And Louisville's probably going to get a national seed. They won it. Miami probably will get a national seed as well. And I looked, I think Florida State was like the fourth seed in that tournament. And at one point, they were a national seed until they lost 5 in a row heading into the tournament.
Right.
So a lot of good baseball teams out there other than your old Aggos. And rightfully so. So that's going to get us caught up in college baseball. Before we get away here, Primo, man, time's running out. But I did want to make mention of this statement. Talk a little A&M tennis. A&M tennis did well. They had a couple girls, couple people make All-American yesterday, efforting on the men's side. And then on the women's side, oh, man, I'll butcher her name.
Saska Gavrilovska.
There you go.
Gavrilovska? Gavrilovska?
That's good enough.
Gavrilovska.
They're playing today in the third round. They both earned All-America honors.
Made the Sweet 16, which is automatic.
Great season for A&M tennis, and you cover tennis. And you went to Athens 1 year, and I want to bring this up because if you know the A&M tennis coach, Howard Yaffe, the women's coach, he's really a funny guy, but he says what's on his mind. He doesn't think about how the writer might take this. He just answers your question.
Pretty truthful guy.
Yeah, and somebody asked him about their doubles teams lost yesterday, and I'm sure the question was they played a lot of tennis because the team was up there, they won a game, they went.
Well, and they've probably had to sit through a lot of rain delays,
And here's Howard's quote. After 9 nights in Waco, I think I certainly wouldn't be too critical of our ladies for having a little mental fatigue, end quotes. And I just died laughing because I could see him saying that because he's English or Australian or something. He's got
a great Australian.
He's got a great accent. You just want him to keep talking because he's real funny.
Yeah, he is.
And he's a little bit like me. He'll get things out of order only because he doesn't, maybe, you know, the English language slang, but I do it because I just get things mixed up. But, you know, and as Primo said, 9 nights anywhere is tough if you're taking a team on
if you're on the road.
Sure. But when he says Waco,
right,
and you Aggies are just, if this was football, we'd be talking about every national show would have this on today. He's ripping Waco, but he's not.
He's South African. I couldn't remember if it was Australia or South. I apologize to all of the South Africans out there. Yeah, Howard Joffe's South African, and yeah, if Kevin Sumlin, if there's a bowl game in Waco and the Aggies are in it, and Sumlin says something to that effect, using the name of the town. Yeah, we're having to you know, dissect it for 2 segments today, and you know, all of Waco's up in arms, and you know, maybe the mayor of Waco's calling the mayor of College Station and Bryan, and you know, asking for reparations. But women's tennis, that quote is not going to get on anybody's radar.
But when I read this last night, as I laughed, I'm thinking, you have these great tennis tournaments, national tennis tournaments. The team goes individuals. You are there for 2 weeks almost.
Well, so they've combined everything.
They've combined everything.
The men and the women and the team and the singles.
Athens, which is a small town, College Station, a small town, Waco, a small town. So I ask you, you did cover the men's tennis, women's tennis in Athens at one point. Athens is a small town. what does a team do? What do you think a team tennis team does for nine days?
It's pretty brutal. I love Athens. Athens is a great college town, but it is a college town. I mean, this looks like we look like Houston, Texas to Athens. Athens is the university and maybe a 15,000 population town around it. So I mean, it's not. It feels like that. So it doesn't feel very big, honestly. I don't know what you do. You may go to Atlanta. You know, I don't know what all there is to do.
How close is Atlanta?
40 minutes, 50 minutes.
Yeah, you still got to fight traffic. That's two hours.
Right, and it might be an hour and a half.
That's what I'm saying. So you can't really do that if you're a team sometimes.
No, and I think everybody loves Athens because the scenery, like being able to walk around town, it's real small. Being able to walk around that downtown's kind of fun.
But 9 days.
But 9 days anywhere, yeah, that's going to wear on you.
I'm thinking 9 days in Waco. What do you do in Waco? I mean, seriously, I mean, you stop and think about it. No museums.
You don't go.
No zoos.
They have a zoo. I think they have a zoo.
Does Waco have a zoo?
Maybe they do. I mean, you go to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame twice, I guess.
Well, that's nice. That is nice.
You don't go to Twin Peaks.
But, you know, you don't want to make jokes, but when he said it, that's another reason, because this week you have the deal, Liz. And, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, things like that has to hurt your, because I live up Pennsylvania, people know. A lot of people will go, like when the Branch Davidian deal, my brother was calling and go, hey, how close to you that? Are those people a psycho? Whatever.
Right.